You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95BFM.
Kia ora Lucinda, kei te pihi a koe.
Kei te pai, kei te hia kai.
Ai, what have you been eating? What are we talking about in the world of kai this morning?
Well, I was thinking, mostly because I have been ordering from that online grocer, what is it called? Farmer's Box.
Oh.
Very fun.
Which I do think is a...
I've literally never heard of it.
I do. I think of all of the various... I love to try a different online ordering option just to see.
Just try them out. Why not?
And then often I get very distressed. I really hate when I buy produce online and then it arrives and it's not
good.
Optimum quality.
Yeah, rats, which, man.
I mean, if you're paying a dollar... It should be. It probably isn't going to be the best, but still. Farmer's Box, though, I've actually really enjoyed. This is not sponsored.
just a genuine opinion.
But they seem to have a few things that are really unusual that I'm not offerings that are different to what I'm finding in the supermarket or my local. Like I noticed that they have red kiwi fruit this week.
Ooh!
But even more excitingly, for a freak like me, they've got quinces.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
And at this time of year, I always start to really keep my eye out because quinces are weird.
Quinces are weird. I'm immediately going to say, what the heck do you do with a quince? Because I've eaten a quince paste.
But oh, yeah.
I don't know how you do anything else with it.
I would say quince paste is the best thing to do with a quince because it's gorgeous and it's delicious with cheese, and I love cheese above all else. So
if you can do something that will augment cheese, we're in a good way.
Exactly.
So how do you actually get a quince from a fruit to a paste? Because is it the same process as like making a jam? What's the vibe?
It's pretty similar. So I should preface this by saying that I have, for the last couple of years, I've sought out quinces in order to make quince jelly, which is essentially quince jam, except I guess jelly is generally higher sugar than jam, and it doesn't have bits in it.
Yes.
You're kind of straining it out.
It's bitless.
Yeah. This year, I'm going to...
I put that on the label as well. It's bitless, guys.
Jelly, bitless. they should just call it bitless jam. Why bitless do they need?
Love it.
But this year is going to be my first year, I think, that I'm going to steer away from the jelly and do the quince paste, or otherwise called membrillo or quince cheese, which is confusing given that you...
cheese.
Yeah.
I guess it has the texture of some cheeses because it's quite solid, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas a jelly is a little bit like it's in that... between a solid and a liquid stage.
It's bitless. Yeah.
Quince paste often has bits.
Yeah.
And it's a bit chunkier, and you have to slice it rather than scoop it.
And I think
this is the scientific difference.
No, you're right. And part of that is because you're not straining it.
Yeah.
So when you make a quince jelly, to be honest, cooking with quince is honestly just such a beautiful experience because they are such gnarly looking fruits. They're kind of furry, they're yellow, they're super hard. They do not get softer. If they get soft, then your quince is like rotten. So they basically feel like a really underripe pear, and you cut it up and you're like, this will never be edible.
Yes.
And then as you cook it, it has this incredible chemical reaction where the fruit itself and the liquid turn pink.
Whoa. Because they're kind of white, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just a basic brown white sort of thing.
Exactly. And as you continue cooking it, it becomes darker and darker and turns into like the most beautiful, like a really full-bodied rosé.
Ooh, la la.
And it's really, it's kind of a flavor. If you haven't had quince, I think it's a flavor that's really like no other because it's super floral. It's sort of, I guess it's closest to like a pear or an apple, but then it's almost like sort of rosy and like perfumey.
Yeah.
It's really...
It's one of those things that, as a kid, we had a quince tree in the garden, and it was also produced very small quinces, but I have a very vivid memory of being a small kid and being like, I'm going to try one of those.
Oh, no.
Because I'd seen some quince pastes and stuff, and every now and then my mum would be like, I'm going to make a jam or a jelly or something, and then for 5 years nothing else, we'd not do anything else
yeah,
with them.
It's a faff.
But I remember trying to bite into one once, and I can still feel the texture in my mouth. It's just a horrible experience. You learn the hard way as a kid.
I was going to say, is it common to just be like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm going to have a quince?
No.
It's not?
No, apparently, you kind of can't really eat them like that, can you?
How did we even figure this out then?
Well, there are varieties that you can apparently eat raw.
Okay.
I've never come across them in New Zealand.
Right. We just have the really rugged little ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't think they're kind of a very, I don't think they're really, I mean, obviously they must be cultivated here because we can buy quince paste.
Yes.
But that I,
it feels like a Mediterranean sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, Membrillo is Spanish.
Okay.
So I guess, yeah, from sort of like
arid, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, they're sort of arid looking fruits.
They do look like you'd find them in a desert type or a place where there's minimal water, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you say you're cooking it, what is the process? Because would have no idea where to start.
It's pretty similar for jelly or paste, except that when you do your jelly, you're going to cook and cook and cook, and then eventually you're going with sugar and water, obviously. Just put that in there. You're not just going to chuck them in the pan raw.
No.
And then you're going to strain the bits, because you want it to be bitless.
Okay.
As we've established.
So, and then you're going to be left with this really beautiful sort of rich rouge liquid.
So how much water to sugar ratio, sort of estimations, what are we talking about here? A couple of quinces equals how much water?
I don't know. I use a recipe.
Use a recipe.
I'm not a recipe book.
But that's basically all you need, isn't it? Those three things.
Yeah, okay. 100%. Especially because they're super high in pectin, which is the thing that you need when you're making a jam.
Ah.
So often when you make a jam with different fruits, it's like, the process is kind of different or harder or easier depending on the fruit. Like, I love to make a strawberry jam, but it's notoriously awful because strawberries have so much water in them and not much pectin.
Yes.
So you need to do something like add, what I usually do is add like a little cloth baggie full of lemons with lots of seeds.
Uh-huh.
And the seeds have a lot of pectin in them.
Yeah, that's how they get all gloopy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can also get jam setting sugar, and that when you see that at the supermarket, it basically just means they've popped some pectin in, which is lovely.
Right, okay. That makes sense.
Quince, though, super high pectin.
You don't need that.
Even if you chop them up and you take out the cores and whatnot and the skin, which I do recommend because the skin is a very odd texture, kind of hurt. Bit hairy.
Yeah. It's like a little animal.
you'll still have high enough pectin to create that sort of setting, that texture that you want.
So you kind of just keep reducing it a little bit and then you strain it out.
Exactly.
And then what do you do?
I will say as well, the lovely thing about it turning red is that it also kind of starts to tell you when it's really nicely cooked.
I see. Okay. So when the colour's right, you're basically done.
Exactly.
Indication experiment.
Exactly. And then as with any jam setting, you get to do my favourite thing where you sort of blop a little bit of jam on it.
It's the technical term.
Yeah. On a cold plate, and you see if it, and you wipe your finger through it. And if it kind of parts and, the two sides on either side of where you've wiped actually like stand on their own.
Red sea of quince.
It's exactly. Then it's you've
ready
got
to
set.
Go. And then put in a little jar, sterilized jar, sterilized thingy. Nice.
Membrillo though, I think same process, but you're not doing as much straining.
Okay, you want more bits.
Yeah, more bits and less liquid and I think less sugar.
Okay, nice.
So you're kind of, and then you're going to, once it's kind of reached the right colour, which is going to be like a lot darker, almost like heading towards sort of like orangey, you're going to put it into whatever shape you want it to set in.
Ooh.
So traditionally like a sort of rectangle that you can slice like cheese.
But any shape you want.
Yeah, which could be quite fun.
A star.
Yeah.
Someone's texted in saying the seeds are toxic in a quince. I think in high quantities, but you probably do want to take them out.
Yeah,
you know.
Apple seeds.
It's like apple seeds. Yeah. You don't really need them in there, so take them out anyway.
Exactly.
And then you're not having to think about that.
Yeah, you don't want to crunch through them.
All right, quinces are us. Thank you very much for bringing us a bit of quince chat this morning. It's been a while since I've thought about a quince.
I would love, if any listeners are inspired and decide to cook with quinces, I'd love to know.
Yeah, please do. If you have anything to do with a quince that's also not a paste, a membrillo, or likewise, we would love to hear about it as well, because we have limited quince experience
here. You can poach That's the only other.
That's what I love.
Yeah. And then again, you get that really pretty rosy colour.
Yummy.
And poached fruit is always delicious.
And we're heading into poached fruit vibes right now.
Exactly.
As much as I hate to admit it, autumn is coming.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for bringing us a bit of quince this morning.
Anytime.
Lovely to chat with you, Lucinda. We will see you in the studio next week. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Food for thought. Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.